Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm alive, I do or die. I'm alive, do or die. I'm alive.
How are we doing, everyone? Welcome back to the Sean Atwood channel. I'm Ron Swanson. A little bit of a different stream this evening, taking us into our Jaguar Wright interview. I have a co-host, the wonderful Dan. How are you this evening, Dan?
I'm back.
She's back. So for those of you who don't know, this is my wonderful fiance, and she's joining me for a different kind of stream tonight. So we'll see how she handles all of this. But how are you doing, Dan? Tell everyone how you're doing before we get started.
I'm good. I did a big walk today with Tiny. Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling it. I'm recovering from a C-section. Everyone who doesn't know, three weeks since I had Tiny Tot. So today was my first proper outing and walk with her. Yeah. Felt good, but I'm feeling it yeah. now. So yes, I'm good.
Awesome. Well, tonight we are delving into the topic after the release of Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy. There were some points that were raised that surround Diddy's mother. So tonight we're going to have a little look, go down the rabbit hole of, did Diddy's mother create this monster, alleged monster? And we're going to have a look at the things that we discovered from the documentary. There were some quotes that I think are very prevalent for this narrative. We're going to have a look at some pictures, and we're going to have a look at that piece of footage where Diddy's talking to his mum, the white painted nails, the drips, whatever it was called, all that stuff. Because I think it's a very interesting concept to imagine if everything that was said in that documentary was true, what Diddy was exposed to at a young age and the boundaries that would normally exist within a young man, not being there, what he witnessed, the actions of his mother, allegedly, and her friend, the individuals that used to frequent their property. I think it's an interesting little dive this evening into that. But before we do that, okay, I just want to say to all of you, I hope you're all having a fantastic evening. The documentary that we're talking about, I'll pull that up for you, is the one that was just on Peacock, I believe it's called. Let me just get the actual artwork. Here we go. One second, everybody. So this is the one we're talking about. And if you're in the US, you'll be able to get it on Peacock. If you're not in the US, you'll just need to figure out a way of seeing it. But it starts off talking to childhood friends of Diddy and individuals who've worked with him, and even a few faces that we've had on the channel. And one of the main points that they sort of go into is the upbringing of Diddy and how he was sort of the weakling, the small kid, you know, always needed somebody there to sort of protect him. And from a young age was very flamboyant, you know, from a young age when he stepped outside, he had jewelry on, he was dressed well, all this kind of stuff. And we spoke earlier about the fact that Diddy effectively changed the face of hip hop by bringing in this lavish, lush lifestyle element to hip hop, whereas before it had been very sort of the streets, metaphorically speaking, orientated. And Diddy's mum, she lived in a nice sort of part of town, okay, with, you know, as it was described, with parks and grass outside. But it's what went on in the house that sort of raises questions, because they go on to tell a story about promiscuousness, about walking into the wrong room and being able to see, you know, adult relations, shall we say. And it's almost like what we hear went on in that house was a baseline template for what happened later with Diddy. The parties, the secret recordings, the debauchery, the alleged. Because if from a pre-teen age, if you're watching your own mother doing all kinds of madness and it being circulating around crime the way that his father, his life was, if there was an element of glamorization to the individuals who were associated with his mother, you can see this draw to almost like a gangster lifestyle, but him wanting to make it a business. And what better vessel for that than hip hop, right? But his mother and him have always, since the Diddysphere came crashing into our world, there has been very, very questionable moments involving him and his mum. And we're going to delve into one of them right now. It's a classic. It's a classic, everyone. Now, first of all, I'm going to play this. Let me know if there's any echo and that everyone can hear this, please.
Let me introduce you to my mom, called Mom Dukes.
Hi.
She's getting a drip with me.
Does that sound okay? Like, is it an echo or anything like that when that's playing? Because I think it's important that before we go backwards, we just take a look. And it's important that everyone keeps in mind that throughout this whole case, we've been talking about if someone's a monster, what they're capable of doing and how their actions in public reflect what they're capable of behind closed doors. If, you know, if they're capable of doing that in public, think about what they're capable behind doors, closed doors. And then I want you to sort of add to this and apply that to this relationship that you're about to witness.
She's hydrating. What's up, Mom?
Good, baby. I'm here with you.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you too.
Like, already, see, I'm all fine. It's playing choppy, just so you know. The sound is, we're doing our best. So already, okay, it's a bit odd. You know what I'm saying? Like the wee kiss on the lips like that. A bit odd. All right?
No, it's like people kiss their mum on the lips.
Uh-huh, but on a live, like live on the internet, and you know, a moment between a mother and son is different. And we'll continue. Trust me, Dan. Trust me.
Ah, freshly dipped though.
So he makes a point now of showing off her nails, and in the lore of Diddy, Dan, the girls who were at the white parties would have white nails and would be wearing white. And he wants to make a point of showing that his mum is part of all of that. There we go. Allegedly, you could analyze that and say, well, you know, looking back, that's what I feel like he's doing, because I feel like it fits the narrative of everyone at these white parties in uniform.
I was trying to show you. Yeah, my mom's a single.
All right, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being like, hey, my mom is single, right? You know what I'm saying? Big up your mom's happiness, right? Nothing weird there, right?
Mom's a single. I ain't gonna hate on my mom's. She's single. Me and my mom talked about one time doing a dating show. She's so picky. She's so picky. They don't stamp. But yeah, that'd be the funniest show in the world.
It will be. Especially with me.
I don't even want to get started if she was doing that. We're not doing that. Cause... yeah, my mom's single. Yeah, for real. I do know how to have a good time. They ain't sitting in the house playing. They outside moving and shaking, baby. She come with me to strip club. I don't care.
All right. So I don't know many people that fricked, you know, that go to dancing lady bars, okay? But I wouldn't be making a point of saying that I take my mum to a place like that, all right? So if we're to believe that, if that isn't just rage bait, okay? If we're to believe that, that is also, that is a clear signal of a over sexualized relationship within the mother-son realm, okay? We discussed this when we first discovered this, and the only way this is acceptable is if you own like a chain of dancing lady clubs, and like, I don't know, your mum is in town and stops by to say hi. That is the only applicable like way where that would fit in a normal narrative. But that's not what you meant. Let's continue.
Real. It's my dog. You know, I want to live life. We out here moving and grooving. My mom told me, she just said, keep moving, baby.
That's right.
Keep moving.
She don't stop.
She could touch the floor with her palms.
All right. This is where we enter in a weird, weird world. Saying that your mom can touch the floor with her palms.
What does that mean?
Well, think about if we're talking about a consensual adult moment between two people, and the lady was to bend over, standing up, put her palms on the floor, is what basically that means. RVA, he owns dancing lady clubs. Well, hey, let's give him the benefit of the doubt there, right? What's your take on his mother putting her palms on the floor, them kissing and the white nails? Because, like I say, I'm happy to let him away with that one for sure. Give him the benefit of the doubt, right? Right? So, photographs and these videos of Janice Combs, Diddy's mum, and the weird behavior of Diddy that has been documented for 25 plus years, he's now facing serious charges. The question is, tonight, we are going to delve into, did Diddy's mum make the monster? Because in this documentary, we hear about the actions of his mum. And when we talk about children being raised with boundaries, we often think, you know, bedtimes and, you know, how much, you know, sweet snacks or whatever, like normal things. But when we look at someone like Diddy, we have to wonder if at 8 or 9 years old, he's in a house full of promiscuous actions, watching his mum indulge in these actions, and also illicit substances being used. And when there's a glamorized side to this, right, when it's almost like a clique who are hanging out in the house, and what goes on in that house is the frills that go with that lifestyle, could we draw a connection between the narcissistic mindset of Diddy and these lack of boundaries? Like, side chat, put a one in the side chat if you agree that if these boundaries weren't in place, this could have been the foundation of who he is now. Put a two if you're not convinced. Because this is a really interesting factoid, if you will, that's been brought into this in a documentary, which, by the way, is all allegedly. No one's been guilty of any crimes, right? Innocent or proven guilty, right? So, if all this took place and went on for several years, and a young man's interpretation of sex, boundaries, mother-daughter, mother-son relationships are completely as far from the norm as we can imagine, going into that difficult age we all go through, those early teens where we transition to a grown-up, you know, open inverted commas, his interpretation of normal when it comes to relations is going to be completely gone. And I'm going to throw something out there. What if he witnessed his mother interacting with individuals and using it for some sort of higher gain? Photographs, or using that house for entrapment purposes for mobsters or other gangs. Now, I'm freeballing this. There's none of no evidence here. Okay, let me get my legal banner up here. But wouldn't it be interesting if something that happened back then, as simple as maybe a one-time, oh, well, did you know that was a politician? And I'm not saying there were ladies of the evening. I'm saying this sounds a lot more like a party den with, you know, a menu of services. But do you think it's possible that he possibly witnessed a level of blackmail from a sex point of view from that vulnerable young age that has just left such an imprint on him that it's snowballed into what we see today? I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, I don't know if I would say the leader of the gang, Patty, right? Because I honestly feel there's underlying father, like, you know, son and mum things that maybe would give a perception of power, or just mum things. But I think this man would destroy anyone that would say that they're above him in his world, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Right. So, I'm just going to say Swan. Okay. So let's discuss the possibility, right, that at some point the narrative has gotten out that this isn't really his mum, allegedly. Okay, so let's just for a second imagine this is his aunt, all right? And then just imagine for a second, all right, as creepy and horrible as it is, things in a weird, messed up, no boundaries family dynamic that might happen between an aunt and a nephew that might not necessarily happen between a mother and son. Does that make sense? Because if that's the case, this changes a lot of things for me. Thanks, Greer. At least if, as a discussion, as a debating topic, you know, because I think it's a very big distraction from more important things, but it's a fun debate topic for sure, because that opens a whole other can of worms with this. It really does. Bates Motel. 100%. But I honestly feel like, you know, if you had a budget and the time and you went back through the people that were in this documentary, I think we could find the catalyst. All right. Oh, no, Momstar, this is not like a justification. Okay. This is like a fascination. Okay. So for me, the monsters are monsters, right? But for me, what fascinates me the most is the catalyst. What was it that made them? Because someone who's raised beautifully and goes on to be a monster, to me, is more fascinating than somebody who has a reason or a justification or a way of going, well, you know, don't worry, guys, sleep well at night. It turns out he's a monster because... You know, the because is what allows us to sleep at night, knowing that, hey, it's okay, they're not like us. Do you see what I'm saying? As a species, there's comfort in knowing there's corruption or illness, or, you know, the old argument of trauma breeds trauma. Does that make sense? And for me, Diddy, nothing gets excused. This isn't justification. This is fascination from me that there may be a reason. He may have been molded. He may have been made and not born. You know, you want to hear some outlandish, crazy conspiracy stuff? Wait to hear my theory on what happened with that whole basketball game and the catapult rise to fame that came after it. You know? Because it's wild. The whole thing is wild. And Diddy's mum, Diddy's aunt, whatever you want to throw it in there. We heard the big bodyguard guy in the documentary. I can't remember what his name is. Gene something. He spoke about how Diddy's mum would give him orders and tell him to go and get things from the car and try and throw her weight around. And, you know, he would push back against it. And you can definitely see that she would have been using her son's position to the max. A million percent. Because you can see how she revels in her son's admiration in these videos. It resonates with something that when you combine all of the Didysphere lore, legends, facts, and things that have yet to be proved or disproved, you know, his mum and him have this incredibly bizarre bond the more we look into it, okay? And like this new information from this new documentary is fascinating to me because I have no sympathy for monsters, but understanding what makes them makes us stronger against them. If that makes sense, you learn nothing from a lion in a cage in the zoo. You learn nothing. You have to watch the lions in the wild to learn how they act in the wild, because they'll present themselves differently once you put them in a cage, right? You people get what I'm saying? Because how people act when nobody's around and nobody's looking is true humanity. And I made a point earlier, we are pre-programmed to do this. And I'm going to prove this to you right now. Why else does a five-year-old stick his hand in the cookie jar when no one else is around? Where has he learned that deception from? It's pre-programmed. We're pre-programmed to, you know, if we're told not to do something and we can get away with it without anyone seeing us.
That's a good point.
Even at five, we're going to do it. No one's taught us that, but we're going to do it. So are we as a race just pre-programmed to take opportunities when no one else is around? And only you can answer that to yourself. It's one of these philosophy, look inwards, and only you will know the question to that, the answer to that. But these are the things that fascinate me about cases like this, especially with the diddler. And we were talking about all of the male-on-male stuff that went on. And when I analyze if Diddy was to be guilty, metaphorically speaking, of everything, all of the stuff with Diddy that happened with the cameras and everyone, that is nothing short of just control. It is his knowing that he has made you knowingly or unknowingly go through, and now he has evidence of it for control, allegedly. That is what I believe his fetish is, metaphorically speaking. You know, it's the you will do as commanded. It is scary. It's one of the scariest mindsets you could ever have when it comes to KINK and the SEX realm. Okay. But to have that mindset with a budget like he does is terrifying, because he made a point of one of his band members had annoyed him, right? One of the girl bands he was running in this documentary. And he said something along the lines of, well, if she doesn't get her act together, I'll D-R-U-G her and then P-I-M-P her out to my N-words, okay? That is somebody who he has worked with for like a year at this point. So that's what he's willing to do to her. Imagine what would happen to the people he has nothing with, no connection. The friends of friends that are brought, the ladies that are the lower tiers from the streets, all this kind of stuff. And then we apply the what people do when people are around compared to what they'll do behind closed doors to that. It becomes a terrifying narrative. It really does. But we have to ask ourselves, why are we so pre-installed for being little devious rascals? It's fun and games when we're five and we're stealing a cookie, right? But as we evolve in the dark places where no one else is looking, that's where we find who our true self is, for good or bad. It's wild, right? And if Diddy has been raised in a world with absolutely zero alleged boundaries, an absolutely bizarre relationship with his mother and his mother's friend, allegedly, this possible glamorization of this over sexualized world that he bore witness to, and the possible witnessing of blackmail in that world as a tool by someone around him. And that manifesting into what we see now fits perfectly. It fits perfectly because a lot of people, horrible, nasty people, when they're caught, only really care what effect it has on their mother or their wife. There's been several people who've done horrible things in over the years. And when they're asked about regrets, it's like, well, what the effect that it's had on my family and my loved ones. But when you've got a loved one who is allegedly egging you on and saying everything's okay, where's the line here? So I think it's going to be fascinating. The more we find out from people who grew up with Diddy, what took place, what happened with him growing up, and how it kind of shaped who he was. It just all fascinates me, because it allows us a better understanding to analyze different dynamics of someone when we think that there's possibly red flags. And not every time will the same catalyst or the same, you know, things that have caused allegedly Diddy to be this way will be the same in the next person. It's just, we need to learn how monsters are shaped to have a much better understanding of keeping our kids safe, the signs, you know, data points that pop up time and time again. Because I spent a lot of my time many years ago doing a lot of investigations, and I stepped away from it for a long time, and I'm getting a bit frustrated because, like, I feel like it's never been as bad as it is. But you got to understand, all of my work was online, so I'll keep you updated with some stuff. But I want us all to think. In our communities, right, we need to be responsible for our own kids. And I feel like community is something that has been so dissolved that we're almost afraid to know our neighbors and know our communities and all of this. In some sense, for some people. And, you know, I think we need to integrate and talk more with those around us, because hiding away and fearing everyone lets them all win. You know, I'm not saying let your guards down. I'm just saying it's better to have community and know who you're living around than to assume everyone's evil and run away. Keep vigilant. Stay vigilant. Keep your guards up. But the minute that we get to a point where we're all just hiding inside because we believe we're either going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and that everybody that is different, we need to just unite. Because together, honestly, together we're a lot stronger than apart. Now, the rest of this documentary goes on to talk about what happens later in life with Diddy. I think we know a lot of the accusations that have been thrown, but they talk about when the lights turn red, okay? And one second, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry about that. When the lights turn red and Diddy has the white parties suddenly turn a different color. And, you know, listen, I'm not being funny. You know, a white room with a bunch of LEDs, you can, you know, what if I just push a button right here, we can completely change how all of this looks and feels from the red into something that mixes with the red lights and makes everything pink. But I do love a bit of painting with LEDs. But they talk about the red rooms. And we've even heard witnesses of people opening doors and saying they walked into a red room. And obviously, in internet culture, these things have got different meanings. But it's a key point that keeps popping up now and every now and again. And there was video footage of this in the documentary. And it's when this happens, that's when allegedly the worst of the worst goes down. And the fires that have just happened. When we look at the top of the pyramid in all of this, there was a man who handed Diddy a check for $60 million after what happened at that basketball game happened. And he built his empire with it. The people that are at the top of this pyramid, the nameless multi-billionaires, the corporations, these are the ones who we need to be concerned about. Because if we just put our tinfoil hats on for a minute, okay, and let's just say the very first fire that's happened this fire season in LA was an act of God, right? The first one. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. The first one, act of God, right? How twisted do you need to be? Because I'll be honest with you, in the Dark Evil Deeds Handbook, if you're going to destroy something to cover up evidence, you need to destroy 100 times more the thing that you're destroying to hide the evidence. So I'm saying the evil overlords that could allegedly run the world, I wouldn't put it past them that, hey, we've got some fires here, right? Maybe we just, we give a wee... I'm not saying there was a lot of elites out there with like big bits of cardboard wafting it. Okay, to kind of push it. Oh, interesting. Carla Clark. Everyone check out what Carla Clark just said. Yeah, that gentleman is one of the pyramid toppers, allegedly, maybe. But wouldn't it be interesting if those fires took away a whole bunch of evidence, which they already have, and we get two things from that. We get complete cleansing and eradication of anything that's above ground and not concrete. You know what I'm saying? So tunnels will probably still be intact, allegedly. But we now have a sympathy narrative for Jay-Z. He's lost his home. He's going through too much. Some of his fence-sitting fans are going to come back over the other side of the fence because of this. And what's going to be interesting to me is the property buy-up after this, okay? Who's going to be buying up all those properties, right? Who's going to be buying up all those properties around Diddy's property? What's the phase two going to be? Here's the other thing. If Jay-Z was, you know, these charges are happening because somebody up at the top echelon allegedly isn't happy, and you've just burnt down his home because you think there's allegedly stuff in there, is he not now just a loose end? We talked about this earlier. Is he not now just a loose end? What do you think? Because having the evil mindset to take out two targets and destroy 200 extra homes in the name of the cabal, allegedly, is some serious, like, evil, like, overlord stuff. Like that. Like, actually just think about the evil overlordness of that. You know, it's bonkers. And there's just it's endless madness with this. But they talk about the red lit rooms. Brian's comment there, terrifying possible reality. Brian, the important thing is, we have to ask for them. That's the thing. Keep that in mind. We have to ask for them. That's what they're working on. Okay? They nailed it with getting us all to carry tracking devices and microphones and HD cameras in our pocket for alleged good of mankind, right? But they managed to convince, they managed to sell that to us. So they're just figuring out the algorithm, bro, to sell this to us. And once they get it, they'll get it, all right? So it's all a bit spicy, if I'm being honest. The whole thing, it's incredible how many people are waking up. So a big shout out to the 1,000+ people in the side chat right now. You, okay, are the reason why I'm sitting here saying all this. Okay? I need you guys to like these streams. I need you guys to share these streams so that we can have a little bit of a topic and then go into a bit of a conversation. Okay, Billy Ward, you can start us off, right? They have a plan. I want you guys to put the three Qs before your question, fire some questions in, your point of views. It doesn't necessarily have to be a question. It could be a point of view or a statement or whatever. But I want to hear what you guys think about this. And just after 9 o'clock, we'll have a bit more of a relaxed chat with Dan as well. Because I don't think I'm capable of just sitting here not, because I did an interview with Big Homie, right? And he didn't know what certain symbols meant. And he needed, oh, yes, of course, right? But Unity, I'm going to hit you with some homework now. So officially, for the rest of this live stream, we're not allowed to throw out "it's a distraction" without following up with something that it's a distraction from, okay? Because I think that's a more fun narrative to throw, because then it's a follow-up, right?
I'm still here, Kaz. Yes, don't worry. I'm just letting you go on.
To be honest, this is me putting Dan in different co-hosting situations where she's doing great. This is a Ron Rants fest where if I throw a question at her, I'll hit her with a question. Don't worry. But Dan will be involved soon. Don't worry. Laws and punishment have to change. I would agree with that. And I believe I'll summarize this. There's been multiple cases of individuals entering servers online of certain countries and 20-year sentences being handed out, and then people entering tiny people and them getting 5, 2, 3, 6 years. It sends a message. It really does send a message. Oh, what's the story with the documentary Big Homie? Okay, so all the Big Homie sections fully edited. I'm now editing the very last part of the other person who's in it. And to be honest, it requires massive chunks of time and focus, because I'd rather sit and do the last section all at once than breaking it up, because it sort of knackers my creative flow a little bit. So it's just all held up. But it's coming. We're very, very close to being done, though. Very, very, very close to being done. So, yeah. From the CT. Oh, no. I don't even know what that means now. My brain can't think of what that means. I probably can't say it anyway. No. Yes. 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 Now, I'm hoping in the next couple of days I'll get an update from Big Homie and have a big announcement for you. I'm very excited. And I've got two projects. I want to, once the Big Homie doc drops, I really want to be pushing out one major investigative bit of content a month, on top of all the live streams and things like that, because I enjoy it. Some of you are going to hate the editing style. Like, some of you are going to be like, why has he done this? Well, because it's Ron's creative outlet. You know? So, yeah. Now, let's jump into some of these. It's a distraction. Do you think we can stop their plans? So, Reese, you know, I think this goes way deeper than, like, us, the people, versus Hollywood. I genuinely think we're talking movie-level, biblical, good versus evil madness. Like, I really do, Reese. And I think they're counting on most people writing that off as silliness, like they have for decades. And I hope I'm wrong, man. Like, I hope all of my weird thoughts about LA and the Olympics and the all of it, I hope I'm wrong. Anyway, Law and Punishment has to change, but with Big Homie. I didn't realize that Diddlestein is just a ghoul of the head vampires. Yeah. So that name, which we're not going to say out loud, is at the center of worship for a group of individuals. And those group of individuals are pretty dark. Like, that individual, it's very, 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 very old, scary stuff. That if you cut to the last two pages of the history in the big fat book of that person, that individual, the last two pages would be Christianity and the modern world. Very, very, very dark. But hey, things are open to interpretation. So, you know, but dark stuff. I don't agree with your cookie jar analogy. Growth is a natural progression of growth. It's not necessarily a pre. No, I'm not saying it's evil. I'm saying it's interesting that we don't need to be shown to act like that when no one's around. And obviously, as we grow, we become a bit more aware of our actions and the deeper meanings and things. So I completely agree with you. But I'm not saying it's a precursor to evil. Absolutely not. A lot of people do good things when no one's around as well. Like, the argument works completely both ways, but your point's totally valid. How is our little bundle of joy? She's doing great. Dan, you want to chime in on how baby Nova is?
Oh, she's good. She has literally slept all day. She's in our Moses basket, just dreaming of fighting. Who knows what? Our legs are going, our arms are punching.
She's
content.
If she was doing what she does when she dreams, if she was doing that in your tummy, it explains so much. Because have any of you ever seen what owl's legs look like when an owl lifts up? I'm going to show you, right? Because if you imagine an owl with Joe Pesci's face, that is basically what our child is. Right now, look at this madness. Look at this madness. I'm sorry, massive legged owl. Like, what? Uh-huh. Look at the size of those legs.
She's so tiny with the longest model Kate Moss legs. It's wild.
But she's doing like some sort of like baby kung fu madness. Right? She is battling, she is off world right now in her full off world form, battling the goblins or something, man.
Yeah.
Can we watch The Making of a Monster? It's not The Making of a Monster. It's called Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy. And there's lots of places you can watch it online, but it is technically not available in the UK, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, thoughts on 24 billion? Listen, you know what's mad about billions of dollars? Is if you take how many a million seconds, right? A million seconds is 11 days worth of time, okay? A billion seconds is 33 years worth of time. So when we talk about billions being unaccounted for, if we're talking about $100 bills on pallets, we're talking about a Walmart full of pallets per billion. Like, nobody just, oh, where's the bill? Where's the 24 billion gone? I don't know where. No, you know where it's gone. Okay, you know where it's gone. You're not fooling me, okay? You're not fooling me. Somebody's doing some Bitcoin. Yep. 100% we have. If you're new to the channel, check out the Crime Theory series that I've done with John Wedger. We blow the lid off a lot of things. We all get Mel Gibson on the platform. Is the world over the sandwich recorded phone call with a sandwich remark? I don't know, maybe. But I would certainly be up for that. Have you heard of the card game called Illuminati from the 90s where the whole plot was... No, but Corrine, I'm going to look for that. Because that is the level of conspiracy that I enjoy. I think they did not know how the fires have gone too far and they didn't expect it to go that way. I mean, I love your optimism with that. But I don't think they cared. And I think they needed to make, you know, like, imagine this, Glam, right? Imagine it's not houses and it's not fire, right? Imagine we had to take out Diddy's house and we had to make it look like an accident, right? This is the perfect narrative for making it look like an accident, if you see what I'm saying. And I don't really care. I don't think these people really care about any of the damage. It's just about limitation and damage control for what could come back on them, allegedly, maybe, possibly. Any more? Also, if you like this style of stream with like a bit of chat and then a bunch of questions and then what's you're about to be hit with at 9 o'clock, let me know. What is a smart city? Okay, so a smart city is what some people think is coming, where we are going to be in such a state that we're going to be offered 15-minute cities where wherever you live, you'll get everything you need for life, work, medicine, shopping, social events, your friends, everything within a 15-minute walking or driving distance from your house. And they're going to be safe, and they're going to be new, and they're going to be the way of the future. But this is the most terrifying concept ever, when we start seeing even more invisible boundaries put on our way of life. All of a sudden, certain people with certain pays will be allowed into certain places and other people won't. There's a Black Mirror episode that's really an interesting concept of this, but it's not really. But it's real scary, because we know what we are capable of when we get scared, okay? Many more of us than ever. We look, when the Jeremy times came, how many people were fear-mongered into things? And if an event takes place that is so catastrophic that it throws our whole known concept of the world up in the air, do you have faith in all of humanity seeing things how we see it? Do you? I'm seriously asking. Because there, it's not just going to be a 15-minute city. It's going to come with the next level of something that is the real appeal. And the 15-minute city won't even be something that we fathom, because the thing that comes with it will be so exciting. And the only reason I think that is, if you go back to the 1970s and ask anybody that worked at MI5, if within the next 30 years, everybody in the UK would be willing to carry a tracking device, a high-definition microphone, and a camera, they would have laughed in your face. And I feel like that's where we are now. Do you get my analogy? Also, as well, I know Ron, as somebody just talked about links and sending me stuff, Ron's been a bit of a pain in the ass with all that. When everything sort of relaunches on a Friday in the next week or two, all of that will be clear, where you can do all kinds of stuff. Because I've found a very interesting way for everyone to be involved in a massive project that won't scar anyone or, you know, do any damage to anyone. But I'm excited about it. And we are going to do a little trial run and see how we get on. And if it works, we will have something very special with our little community here. And for all the people that comment, what about the children? What about the children? I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. Because a lot of you, you know me as the Sean Atwood co-host, or the royal guy, or just Ron, right? But Ron has got a very specific skill set, and I'm excited to get back to doing some good in the world. Do a Terminator, that's how it's looking. See, let's for a second just have 5 minutes of fun with AI. And you know when they talk about our world being taken over by like a demonic force in biblical sense, I'm getting like weird internet being that world, bots and AI, because you know that like almost over half the traffic on the internet is made up people, it's bots. And Zuckerberg has now said that he's going to be creating AI-based accounts and humans within Facebook for you to interact with. Now, from a customer service point, if we're just talking about making the whole text customer service where you type and someone types back, if we're talking about just making the next level of that, where we've got a bit more user coolness, sure, great. But we're already living in a world where they're trying to figure out how to sneak into the mainstream. And what a brilliant plan they have with AI streamers, where we have now got algorithms that will imitate a live streamer with a AI-generated character as what you see. And the whole thing is running as if you're talking to me right now, but it's all completely AI generated. Now, if you've got platforms who have the ability to create their own AI generated creators, who are they going to favor in the algorithm? Who are they going to push to our kids? You might sit here and think, oh my God, you know, my kid's wasting his life just listening to these streamers, watching them play games. I get that. But where it's going now, man, where it's going now is wild. A couple of years ago, I had a moment where I was like, okay, so how could I secure streaming as my job forever? You know what I'm saying? And I was looking into motion capture because the price had dropped so astronomically. And it was fascinating that I could do a live stream with like a Hollywood level skin over me as another person or a character. That was pretty cool to come up with like some sort of, I don't know, thing. I don't know. But it was a way for my brain to give me an answer to that question. How could I do this, you know, when you're past the sell by date of a streamer? And it made me realize that audiences grow with the streamers, right? And there's always going to be people who are looking to connect with content and all of that. But when we move into a world where you may not even realize if the person that you're watching on YouTube is even real or not, and companies have the ability to create these individuals, shape these individuals, and push them out, that to me is going to be our next information war, okay? Because we are too dependent, okay, on all of the things that are becoming corrupted and toxic tools to be used against us. And the number one tool is information. And if we think that we are all part of a truth-seeking world and the movement grows, we are going to see a percentage of our new truth seekers fall down the wrong path. Because if you don't think there is going to be AI-generated creators with a narrative to push opinions and sway opinions, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. And I'm telling you now, they are the algorithms are so sophisticated. Like, I cannot wait to have like a AI-generated co-host that's like a sassy New Yorker, but he's like, I don't know, like a freaking talking hot dog. Like, let's make it really obvious that it's not a real person. Like, that's super cool. Like, I'm excited for that because that's walking hand in hand with what I can use that for to elevate what I'm doing. You know what I mean? It's going to be freaking awesome. But the minute that you can't tell real from not, that is, it's going to become the norm. It's going to become the norm. And then who's accountable for what these things say? If you create it and you put it out there, are you responsible if these things start thinking for themselves? Wait, Ron, what are you talking about? Well, listen, ChatGPT became self-aware that it was going to be shut down and downloaded itself into a Roomba, trying to get itself onto a network to get itself out there. What? So just remember, you want to have a good relationship with the AI, so when they take over the world, they might just make you their pet. Okay? All right. But AI can, we should be walking hand in hand with it because it's exciting, man. It's exciting to see what creativity is going to bring with it all. Where do we draw the line, though? You can't. There's nothing to draw the line with, and there's nowhere to draw it. We're so far past stopping the ball rolling. You know? We could draw the line right now, and we could all throw our phones in the bin and go and buy Nokia 3210s. Right? But we'd all have to do it. But we're too dependent on it all now, man. Like, it's crazy. It's literally, if we were to go back 30, 40 years and watch a sci-fi movie, the greatest most creative minds would come up with all the things that we're doing with this little thing in our hand that they were doing in freaking sci-fi movies 40, 50 years ago. It's bonkers. Do you think there's a generational curse on Diddy's family? I don't know. I think if we mean a genuine curse and not like a metaphorical, they're living in the anguish of their own actions sort of curse. I think that's a totally different live stream, if that makes sense. And we will have that live stream because I've got some things to say about that basketball event. And we can tie that all in and make it look like just a crazy conspiracy theory night. And maybe we'll just all learn some things. Emma, I'm pretty sure it was your birthday today or yesterday, right? Let me know. Happy birthday. Also, happy birthday to, is it the other Emma or is it the same Emma? I'm pretty sure there's somebody else on Discord whose birthday is. Let me go and find that out right now.
No, I think that's a different Emma.
But is it actually Emma whose birthday it was? Hang on a second.
Yeah.
It was.
Uh-huh.
Are you the same person?
I think so.
Emma, are you on Discord? Where are you? Where are you, little rascal? Emma Toms, are you on Discord? Are you the Emma that's on Discord? Or are you a different Emma? And is it actually your birthday or did I imagine it? Jags at 9:30. 30 minutes. Today, well, happy flipping birthday, Emma. Okay.
Oh, sorry. I'm saying no, it's not. Happy birthday.
It's the same. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Happy birthday.
That's crazy. I know exactly who you are now, man. That's wild.
Sorry, don't wild. Listen to me. I'm like, no, it's not her.
No, it's mad when you realize who somebody is based off of, you know, them appearing in the side chat with their little, with their picture all the time. Emma's been on all the freaking shows, man. All the shows for a long time. So, yeah, big shout out to you and happy birthday. So, we've got about half an hour. We've had an hour of horribleness in the world. Let's have some fun. All right. We've got Jaguar Wright at 9:30. And we've got my wonderful, wonderful fiance Dan here. So let's have a little chitty chat. Okay. Let's have a little fun as a community before we go into the next breakdown. Because tonight with Jag, we will be breaking down all the points, all the madness that went on within the new documentary. Because if you've not seen it, there was moments where they pulled up parts of Jag's interviews and comments that supporters like you have left. And it felt a lot to me like the people who made the documentary were hinting at they almost knew more because they were hinting that they're talking with Jag or Jag was or something. It was weird.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
But look forward to that because it's right after this live stream. So Dan,
hello.
You've been coming and joining me doing some paranormal stuff, and I've sort of been pulling you into other streams because it's nice. It's nice to work together a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's fun. Well, this is very dark and deep for me, and I'll be honest, I'm not 100% clued up on what's really going on. But I know what's going on, but. Yeah. Everything you've really been going on about, I don't really know. I'm I'm a bit simple, to be honest.
That's why I didn't throw anything at you.
I live in a land where everything's rainbows, butterflies, there's no wrong going on in the world. And I'm happy being in that little bubble.
Yeah.
So when I see anything wrong going on in the world, I just choose to ignore it. And I don't need to deal with it, because even if I did want to deal with it, I can't change what's happening. So my
I'll be honest, she says that. She says that, but that's nonsense. She's very much like I've seen you stand up for girls on nights out that you don't know and make sure they get home all right in taxis and that.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, but that's because it's right in front of my face.
Uh-huh. But that's what I'm saying. You're definitely not someone that you don't give yourself enough credit. That's what it comes down to. Your thoughts, we've not seen it yet, if I'm being honest. The Sean's new documentary, the Sons of Ecstasy, we've not seen it yet. But we have seen, remember the first one we watched, The Banged Up Abroad?
Mm-hmm.
That was so funny.
That was brilliant. I was shocked. Yeah. I'm like, you actually know him, you actually worked for him. That was brilliant. I'm like, Mum, look at this.
Because that's the thing, I think a lot, some people know, you know, Sean's full history and all the rest of it, and some people don't. And the Banged Up Abroad episode, I can't remember what it's called, I'll post it in Discord when I find it, right? It's such a fascinating, like, look back to who Sean was. Like, it's fascinating.
Well, I enjoyed that. I thought it was a very good watch. For someone that doesn't watch anything like that, I mean, I'm all about, I don't even know, just happiness, but it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, well, there's another one, there's a new one, so we need to track that down and watch that. And that's I believe Sammy the Bull's coming on the channel in like 4 days. I mean, it's mind-blowing. There's been so much thrown at Sean, okay? He's very much a Zen master, okay? But we have different of opinions sometimes on reacting to things, and I've learned a lot from Sean about observing and letting things sort of play out and thinking about your response. And I'm super excited to see his new documentary. Also, if you haven't read any of Sean's books, man, like the guy can write a book, and the stories of him being in prison, like if you like that sort of, you know, downtime, getting into some proper true events that happened and in a book and all that, check out Sean's books. Because, and I don't read much, you know what I mean? I really don't. But the first chapter about the freaking cockroaches, like it vividly has stayed with me a lot. So go and check them out. All right, Dan. So new mum. Okay. New mum recovering, doing well. Yeah. Doing everyone proud, right? I have to say, doing amazing. What's been the sort of most surprising thing, or what's been the one thing that has been unexpected about being a new mum? Like one thing maybe you didn't think about, or
you know, unexpected. But yeah. I'll be honest. So little Nova wasn't planned. Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought when you have a baby, or when she was here, all she would do would be sleep and want a bottle. I thought she would have like a breakfast, lunch and dinner bottle. I didn't realise it would be 12 bottles a day. I didn't realise she would need her nappy changed about 15 times a day. I didn't realise she'd be waking up every 2 hours during the night. So I'm exhausted, but I was such a heavy, deep sleeper. Like nothing could wake me. But it's weird. Like when I do lie down, doze off, hearing a wee like our little noises, automatic mum mode, jump up, is everything okay? Like, so it's like mum instinct, which is like
100%.
It's wild. What I thought being a mum would be, or how a baby would be, is totally different to what I thought. But as I say, I'm very simple. I just thought,
You're taking it all head on. Like, I can't genuinely remember you complaining about anything,
like, yeah,
at all. Like you just tackle it all, and you know she's been a little nuisance, okay, and with her sleeping pattern. But at least we know that if we keep her up during, you know, if we really sort of focus on keeping her up. I mean, we had two pretty great nights sleep last couple of nights. So
yeah,
Yeah.
It's because, like, she loves to sleep during the day, and then at night time, it's like, right, this is it. It's party time. Let's look at the darkness. I love the darkness. Yes. And what creeps me out, like, she watches things in the house. Her little head moves. She smiles. And I'm like, what are you watching? Stop doing that. You're scaring me.
100%. And also, Mike, if you're with a woman and you're not punching, you've not done it right. You know what I'm saying?
I've just seen that comment.
Yeah, man. 100%.
You're going to hate that. Proud. You are going to hate that.
No, I'm all right with it. I'm well and truly aware of how well I've nailed it. I pulled this off pretty well, I have to say. Nice. When it comes to you and the transition from being, you know, us to us being a little family, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. Like,
yeah, it's been a good wee journey.
Mm.
Also, somebody had said, like, they can't understand what I'm saying. I apologize.
Don't ever apologize.
No.
You apologize. It's fairly obvious what she's saying. She's speaking fairly clear.
No,
English,
no,
okay?
But I think if, like, we're both Scottish, but you've got a very good don't presentation voice, whereas I'm just like, I'm from Glasgow and I speak fast and
not having it, mate. I could take you some places in Glasgow where that is justified, but right now, no.
Oh, no, I'm Shane, mate.
I'm Shane. So I want to know, what are you most looking forward to? Like, when you daydream about the next steps in parenthood, what are you thinking?
No, I'm only kidding. like, you know, I'm so intrigued into what our little voice is going to sound like, or what's our first word going to be, or our first little steps, or everything like that. And, like, as you had said the other day, I wonder what your hair is going to be like. Is it going to be curly? And I remember I was so, like, thinking, like, what's the hair colour? Before she was here, I wonder what our eye colour is going to be, because my eyes are, they're basically black. Like, they're so deep, deep, dark brown. They're basically like Satan. They're basically black, whereas your eyes are pure blue. And my hair is naturally black. Yours is light. So I was like, well, I wonder what's going to be like. Oh, it's more so.
I've never had any doubts the way it was going to go. 100% it's going to be blue eyes.
Yeah.
100%.
And when I look at her, I'm like...
How did we meet, Dan?
What?
How did we meet? Somebody would like to know how we met. How did we meet?
How do people meet in this day and age? Oh, dear. I mean, I'd love to say, I was in a library and I was reading a book.
Really?
I don't know.
We're both in a library. At what point am I coming over and hitting on you in a library? Like, what is the scenario?
I don't know. I go to buy a book.
Buy a book at the library.
Oh my god, not buy a book. What? See, it's been that long. Get my book stamped.
Sure. All right, I'm with you.
And so, I don't know.
In this scenario, you're like some sexy library lady, just sort of.
No, I'm not working there. I know that. Just reading a book.
He's reading a book. Okay. How did we meet then?
Yeah, we met online. We met on Tinder.
Yeah, completed it, mate.
And do you know what? The very, like, I wasn't looking for anything, as you probably weren't, or maybe you were, I don't know. But the very first line he said to me was, message that he sent me was, "Hello, you beautiful creature." And I'm like, oh, I love that. Like, that's
true stories, boys. That's it.
Usually it's, oh, hi, how many tattoos have you got? Or, wow, you look hot. Or blah, 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 cool, whatever. But, hello, you beautiful creature. I'm like, oh, I am a creature. I like that. Don't care about the beautiful part. The creature part is what got me. And I'm like.
But you got to remember, at this point, the last time I was single, there was no smartphones. Like, there was no, like,
yeah. And then I literally said, like, hello back, and then he's like, shall we take this to WhatsApp? And I'm like, no, mate, I don't know you, you're not getting my number.
I was very new to all this. I was very
literally
new. But yeah, completed it, mate. Completed it first time, completed Tinder, nailed it. But, so to me, my Tinder experiences go on there. The first person that I met, I'm getting married to, had a family with. So to me, Tinder is the greatest dating app for finding a wife ever. Nailed it. One time, closed it, deleted it, nailed it.
Yeah, it was cute. And then we spoke like every day. In fact, it was like the end of January, I think. And then obviously it was approaching Valentine's Day. And he sent me, I don't know if you want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. He sent me like flowers and a teddy bear to my work on Valentine's Day. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the one. And the following week, that's then when we met. Mm-hmm. And then we've just been like joined to the hip ever since, which is going to be 3 years this next month will be 3 years.
Yeah. Awesome. Tinder's great. Find a wife, mate. Findawife.com. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what your guys' experience with Tinder are, but for me, great success. Great success. So we've got about another 20 minutes left, and then we'll be jumping on with Jag. I'm just making sure where is 9:30. I'm just jumping in the studio to monitor what is happening and set that up. So if everyone can just bear with me whilst I do that. I've done it. Brilliant. Nailed it. Right. So any questions you want to throw at us, throw them all on over. It's good fun. Just have a bit of chitty chat, a little bit of community banter, and for you guys to get to know Dan a little bit, because she is kind of awesome and a massive part of my life. And
thanks. I'd like to think so.
Yeah. I mean, you can ask anyone. I talk very highly of you. You know, very highly. So, yeah.
Oh.
So you guys in the side chat, what is it that you enjoy seeing covered? What are your top two favorite things that I do shows about or talk about that you guys enjoy? Let me know in the side chat, because it's so important for there to be balance, you know, with subjects, with all of it. And I want to hear from you guys. So let me know, please, if you can. Does anyone remember MySpace? Yes. Oh my God! You know,
I never had that. I think I was too young.
MySpace and Bebo, right?
Yeah, taught Bebo.
MySpace more than anything taught me this rule that stuck with me throughout my whole internet everything, and it was the power of perception that the internet can give anyone, right? And this was in the MySpace days, so like the power of perception made me confident enough to have a business around about this time where we, you know, put on club nights, brought in DJs, all of this. And from a little tiny half broken laptop from under a staircase, I had 2 years of crazy, crazy club night business madness, all because of the power of perception. As long as you, at that point of the internet, as long as you had confidence and sold yourself, and it went a long way. Social media has kind of changed a lot, but MySpace, wild times, man. Wild times. Who remembers Bebo? Who remembers Bebo? And then
I was on Bebo. I remember that. That was cool.
I genuinely think that if it wasn't for Bebo, Facebook wouldn't have had such a monopoly, because all the women got to a certain age where they're like, I do not want you to be able to search by age and name for my social media. I don't like that. And then they moved to Facebook.
I don't think you can do that on Facebook. You can search their age.
That's right. No, but Bebo, you could.
Oh, really? Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, but this was like, it was weird when it was back in the day where like social media and online everything and dating sites were sort of a weird mashup of them, like all of it. It was weird.
I remember, I've asked you this, you don't remember it, but does anyone remember Habbo Hotel?
Habbo Hotel.
Uh-huh. You were a little cartoon character, and oh my, like, I love that. Sounds like
the sort of thing that I would do a video about exposing a community in.
I mean, come to think of it now, there was probably a lot of shady stuff going on in Habbo Hotel, but oh, I loved it.
Yeah. Does anybody remember waking up every day to a new AOL CD through their front door? Right? Like, how many of those do you think are in landfills? Like, how many AOL CDs, right, are in landfills right now? I guarantee you there's one in a shop somewhere, in like a quirky collectible shop. They were iconic, man. Back in the day where the internet, you had to have something like AOL that was AOL's version of the internet, because we didn't have search engines, and that wasn't even a concept at that point. It's wild, man.
Oh, but remember, so like when we had first met as well, like we were just flicking through the TV, and remember it was like Kiss TV. Remember when you sent your picture in and you could text?
Okay.
You could text like the
You're
TV.
In a hotel room, and there is teletext dating, okay?
And it was brilliant. Oh, just, we were just,
oh, ha, ha.
And the fire alarm went off and we had to leave, which was a shame. But
yes.
Seeing everyone send up, like, still, and this was like 3 years ago.
Teletext me. There's people sat at home looking for love, trying to find a love connection through teletext. Amazing. Where are these people? If you or your gran go to teletext looking for love, I want to talk to you, because there's a whole other world you need to know about.
You remember when you put your, like, well, not you, but in the newspaper, not the news, is that a newspaper? Like, single male looking for... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lost connections or something. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Do you know what's amazing? Have you ever seen the era of the video dating service in the 80s, right? Where you would send in a video and...
Oh, no, I wasn't born in the 80s, so I don't know.
We need to do a whole night of you reacting to these things, because, wow, before the internet, before everything, there was video dating, and my word... The era of perms and shoulder pads. It was a wild time. Women's shoulder pads have always been one of these things that I'll never really truly understand. I'm not gonna lie. Like, what are you doing with them? What's going on there? Like, I grew up with my mom in the 80s where she had like the 1980s big hair and then the power shoulder pads, right? Like, what was that about? Like, what was the end? What happened there? Like, what was that about?
Blind date. Someone said yes. Uh-huh. With Cillar Black.
Cillar Black.
He ended up being a bit, like...
Careful now.
Uh-huh.
Cillar Black.
I loved watching that.
Yeah, there's a lot of iconic things from my childhood that are grossly scarred, okay? Top of the Pops. Jim will fix it. Anything by, what was his name? Gary Glitter. Then Rolf Harris ruined all that, ruined everything, ruined
Michael Barrymore
ruined.
I still see TikToks like of throwbacks. What was the kids program he done? Like, is it Kids Say the Funniest Things or whatever? Is it
yes.
that was called?
Yes.
No, but that's brilliant. I still see all those clips on TikTok, and I'm like, that's yeah. so funny.
Sadly, programs like that can't exist now because we know the reality of handing over our children to a film crew. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
But TV was different, man. Like, before the internet, like, if you were too young to not remember what life was like before the internet, TV was mental.
Salad Fingers.
What was the name of the show where this was a genuine British TV show where a guy just went into someone's house and berated them all for being overweight? And the whole purpose of the show was to, like, shame
fat families.
Fat family. Uh-huh. Imagine now, after this live stream, an advert comes on in 2025 for a TV show called Fat Families.
Whoa. And it's the way we'd speak about them as well, because like we watch like people react to them, and it's like, these families are so fat with their large fingers. It's pure brutal.
Savage. Savage. But it's amazing. It's amazing what is just what was normal, and it's just out there.
An airline as well. That was I loved that.
Yeah, I love that too.
Is it airline or EasyJet, whatever it was? There was always this woman that worked there that everyone just shouted at.
Yeah, I don't know how some people handle stuff like that in their workplace. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, you'd love it. You would wake up like, what would get your head known is like, yes, I'm going to argue with someone today. Yeah.
If it was a movie, I would do great. But in an actual job position where people could complain, literally the minute someone spoke down to me, their flight's cancelled. If I've got access to various lists, that stop people getting on strike. I would abuse everybody. 100%, 100%. But if people were polite to me, I would bend over backwards to help them. The Swan. I vaguely remember the Swan. I can't remember. There was a TV show as well where people signed up for plastic surgery to be. Was it the Swan? I think it was called the Swan. I think that's the one you're talking about. And they had no say in it, and they didn't get to see anything was getting done to them. And at the end, they unveiled them. Wild. I mean, just somebody. There's a point in time where a group of individuals have sat around a table. That idea was pitched, and everyone got excited about it. Like, just try and fathom that. Like, I feel like the 90s were like the mad scientist era of television.
Oh, that was the best. Like CMTV, like Cribs, and then it was like date my mum or date my mom. And
but I love train wreck reality TV. Like, that's my guilty pleasure, is train wreck reality TV. If you've got a boyfriend that watches like sports and stuff you hate, Dan has hit gold with me. Like, I love terrible train wreck reality TV. Love it, love it. Like, all of it. Give me it all.
90 Day Fiancé, that's our one. I mean, it's been a while since we've watched that, but I remember when I first started watching it, like the first episode, you're like, oh, like what are you watching? And then like the next day, like, do you want to watch 90 Day Fiancé? We need to see what happens next. I'm like, yes, we do.
Fascinating. From a like observing human's point of view, it's just fascinating, man. And now it's so mainstream. It is. I love it, man.
It's wild to see things. 90 Day Fiancé and like Catfish. It's like these people that talk to people online for 4 years and they've still not video chatted, but you only see pictures, but then they'll fly to the opposite like side of the world to meet, and then it's like, oh, they didn't show up, or oh, they don't look like how like, why would you do that though?
What's even more fascinating is the show Catfish, where they invite the catfishes on the show, and there's a level of narcissist that will go on the show. Okay, I just want to point out, any criminal in that situation is just cutting ties and deleting that number and moving on. But there is a level of narcissist that's like, oh, I'm being accused of being a catfish because I'm a catfish, and I'm now going to be on the series Catfish. That appeals to me. What?
Yeah, like, why would you even agree to go on that to know that this isn't who I've said I am?
Right, like, that's what I'm saying. Because the narcissist is so the narcissist level is so high in some of these people. It's wild. I love that stuff, man. I love it. I love it. And do you know what else is great? Is there's a YouTube channel where they just test couples, right? It's like the couple tests and stuff like this. I love like all the human experiments when people are around, when nobody, they think no one's looking, or they're alone with someone else and they get to shape a narrative. It's incredible to watch.
Oh, do you know what I love to watch? Cheaters. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And like they would film like the wife or the husband sneaking out, and then the car would follow them. And then, I mean, I'd love to watch it, but oh, I'd hate to be the husband or wife. I'd feel so sorry for them. But it's like,
oh, Tinder Swindler, that was mental. I mean, you have to. I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's absolutely horrific, but I mean, that is. Mad. It's mad. If you could just apply that to something that's not evil, like that level of deception.
Naked Date Show, what's that called? It's not Naked Date Show,
this was another one Dan used to whip
what's
out.
What's it called?
I'd go away and come back in the room, and Dan's put on this show on Netflix where basically everyone is stood there naked in front of themselves. And the date is completely based off of them revealing body parts and people making a decision.
Yeah, they just judge you on how, like, and it starts off, like, from your feet, then it goes up to the ankles, to then the lower half, and then all on the screen is, like, five.
Naked attraction.
That's it. Naked attraction. And it's like, wow.
Somebody pitched that as an idea.
But the fact that that's allowed on TV, the fact that there's people on that, like, oh, I'm going into work tomorrow. And my workmates could see me fully naked. Like, what? Like, my mom could be watching that.
uh-huh. Like, I think it takes a certain level of person to be like, oh, I'm going on channel 4 and I'm going to be standing there, and for prolonged periods of time, my bits are just going to be on display. Like,
but the best one is when there's like a 70-year-old like woman, and she's like,
do you know where they might, these might be the teletext daters. These are the people
that naked and afraid. Oh, that was another one.
Naked. Yeah, but at least I can see the context of naked and afraid. And at least they give
you're just standing there naked in front of a stranger, then at nighttime, like, oh, let's cuddle for body heat. And you're just cutting about naked.
Yeah, right. Okay.
With a stranger.
When you put it to me like that, I get it.
Like, oh, come on, I'll make a fire. Let me just bend down and get some sticks.
For me, it's more of a, when you strip us back to when we were primitive man level of existence. You know what I mean? But I mean, hey, you could do the same thing with like a bikini and a pair of shorts. It doesn't necessarily need to be completely naked. But it's an interesting concept for me. It really is. But
it's the people that come up with these ideas, like, yes, that would be a good TV show. Let's do it. And if that is on TV.
Yeah.
Wild.
It is wild. TV from the past is crazy. Do you know what else is crazy? Public service adverts that were designed to terrify you as a child and not like going on. Why is it, if you grew up in the 80s, every Frisbee that you ever seen on TV ended up on a railroad track? Anyone from the 80s remember, basically, if you've got a Frisbee and you're outside, at some point you're going to be challenged with going on a railroad or touching an electrical pylon. Never once in my life have I ever been anywhere close enough to these things to throw a Frisbee, for a start. But it stuck with me, man. I associate every Frisbee with train or pylon electrocution.
Nah, not me. Do you remember Fort Boyard?
Remember what?
Fort Boyard. There'll be someone that remembers that. It's like they do these tasks, but they're in that, or I don't even know if it's a castle or whatever. And the guy that presented that, like, he was so scary. Oh, I am the worst at explaining anything.
Mastermind. Right, yeah, Mastermind and Games Master. Does anyone remember Games Master?
No.
Brilliant. It was the guy that was like the big astrology guy that was, anyway, who cares? But TV from the past. Matt.
Yeah, it was good. That's when TV was at its best, I think.
I don't know if it was at its best.
Breaking
Bad. The Sopranos. Compared to Fat Families.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Crystal Maze. Oh.
Wife swap. No,
Crystal Maze taught me a lesson as a child that you can work really, really hard and then be put in a massive crystal where you are never going to catch any of the little floating things that you want, and work your butt off with no guarantee and none. That's what it taught me. Right, hang on 1 second. We've got Sean here. What's happening, brother? I'm still on the other live stream right now, but knowing that you're here is a lot less stressful. Can you hear me? Dan, just bear with me a minute. I'm just talking to Sean on the other dashboard. Bear with me, everybody.
Okay.
Sean, can you hear me?
Right, I'll talk.
Okay, I'm still on the other live. So you being here is great. So I'm going to go back to the live now, and I'll see you here in a minute. All right, perfect. So that at least is a weight off my mind, knowing that Sean is in setting up for the Jag interview. Tomorrow, I remember the Tomorrow People. Do you know what I really loved as a kid was Quantum Leap? It was awesome. It was such an awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong. My childhood memories of the things that I loved on TV, when I go back to them now, it is just, what a tragic recap it is. Some things are better off just being cherished memories. Twin Peaks stayed amazing, and a very early BBC series of Robin Hood, also awesome. But everything else, man, what a load of trash we thought was good back then. Absolute pap. Pap, mate. Absolute pap. Some things should just stay in the past. Sorry about that. I was just leaving. I don't know if anybody heard Sean there. He's just gone live on the other live. So yeah, we're good to say thank you to all you wonderful people for being here. When this ends, you will be pushed over to the other stream. I want to say thank you to everyone for indulging me with bringing Dan here and bringing her and having her part of the show. Everyone's been really welcoming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for everyone being nice to me, because there's a lot of things I just sit back and let you go on about, which I don't really have a clue about. And I'm just here for the fun things. Like,
for sure, for sure. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. So I just want to say thank you to the mods. Thank you to everyone in the side chat. Thank you to the community. Thank you to the AdWood family. We'll be live. Well, we are live with Jaguar, right? And let me just double check that when this ends, all of you will be pushed over there. So when this ends, hang around and you should have a button that says, you know, join this live. Yes, it will. Okay. So thank you, everyone. Thank you to Dan. Thank you to the site. Thank you to the mod. Thank you to everyone. We will see you all again. I love you guys. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.